Good morning. We're going to continue our discussion about the halachos of Geneva's Das. And what we're up to is discussion of marketing. When you're selling goods, what a person could or can and cannot do as far as marketing and representing the quality of his goods. Now, it's important to keep in mind that there's a concept of a mum, of mekach tois. Whenever you're buying or selling an item, there's a chazaka, there's a presumption that the item is not defective. If there is a defect, there is an obligation to disclose the defect. And if you don't disclose it, it's a mekach tois, he has the right to be chazer in many cases, and certainly will be geneva's das. And that is clear, that there's nothing to talk about. What we're going to be discussing today is when you're selling an item, it doesn't have a mum. It's not like there's a defect or something broken. But it's simply inferior merchandise. Whatever you buy, there's a range of different qualities that are available. You can buy fresh items, you can buy seconds, you can buy irregulars, there's a range of qualities. So the question is, what can you do as far as presenting the goods? What can you do to make it seem more appealing? When is it mutter or when is it geneva's das? But if there's a defect, if there's a mum, if there's something wrong with the item, there, in that case, it would clearly be geneva's das, and it would clearly be an obligation to disclose it. Now, we began with the first halacha, was a person who's selling a basar nevela b'cheska shkuta, where Gemara explains that a basar shkuta is a bit stronger, and therefore, if you're selling it, you have to disclose that if it's a nevela, you have to actually disclose that. Now, we were medayik from, there are a number of achroinim that you can medayik from, that if there is no nafka mina between the two, there's absolutely no difference, there perhaps the issur of geneva's das will not apply. If you lie about it, it certainly will be sheker. You're lying. But in the absence, you're not lying. You're just presenting in a way where the person will make a mistake. So if there's a difference between the two items, that would be geneva's das and perhaps even geneva's mamon. But when there's absolutely no practical difference, there the Isser of Geneva's Das very often will not apply. Now, the Mishnah gives another example, that a Baal Bayis, a farmer who's selling his fruits, so he's not allowed to mix fruits from another field with his produce. The way the Torah brings down the halacha, the Torah says you're not allowed to mix inferior fruits with better fruits. Halacha is very, and the reason for this is obvious. A person comes to buy the fruits from the farmer. He inspects it. He sees he's happy with these fruits. So he expects to get these fruits. If the farmer's going to go ahead and mix in other fruits, they're ready. The quality might not be as good, and that would be an issur of geneva's das. Now the way the Mechaber brings down this halacha is that. Certainly, if you're mixing in an inferior goods with the higher quality of your own, that certainly would be aser. But even if you don't know, simply mixing in fruits from two different fields, that would be aser. Since inevitably one will be better than the other, so there is roughly a 50-50 chance that the other field is not as good as yours. And because there's a reasonable chance that it's not as good, you're mixing inferior goods, that will be aser, unless there would be an obligation to go ahead and to check before you mix anything in to make sure the quality is just as good. Now this can come up very, very, very commonly. If you have a person who's a manufacturer, he has his factory in China or wherever it is that produces certain goods, he runs out of stock. So he calls a competitor and he has a big order to fill, and he gets similar items from someone else. So this is a case where you're mixing the produce, or you're mixing two different production lines. So unless you know that the second one is at least as good as yours, here you would have a problem of geneva's das. Now the Mishnah continues that although this is only true by a private farmer. Because there's a presumption. If you buy from him, he's giving his own goods. However, if you're buying from a merchant, there the halacha does not apply. Since everyone knows a merchant is buying and selling, he's going to many, he doesn't have any of his own fields. He's going ahead and just buying from different people. So the expectation is he's buying, he has many different sources, he puts it all together, he mixes it, and therefore this assumption that everything will be from one field doesn't exist. And you have the right to mix and match, it's not a problem.
Let's see, writes a big sign, homegrown, Jersey grown.
Okay.
Then if he mixes,
Correct. I mean, if he says Jersey grown, he can mix anywhere in Jersey because it's clear that he's no one thinks he's the one that's growing it in his backyard. Correct. 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 Now, a case where this happens very often, I don't know how aware people are, whenever you buy on Amazon. So if you buy on Amazon, you buy a brand name, you buy an Apple or something which is a brand name. So all the sellers can list their item, can put their item under the same listing, and you have a choice of who you want to buy it from. If you're buying a generic goods, you're just, you know, an MP3, so there their rule is, as long as there's no trademark involved, anyone can post any similar item under the same listing as long as it looks the same and it has the same basic function. But there's absolutely no guarantee it's the same item. They can be made in different factories, they can be completely different, they're different sellers, different. As long as it's not a brand name, you can mix whatever you want. Now, if a person goes ahead, he finds an Amazon listing that had very good reviews. He knows he has an item that looks the same, but it's junk. But he posts it under the same review under the same listing because it looks the same. That's Mamash this example. He's going ahead. He's specifically putting in inferior merchandise under this highly rated item, and that would certainly be Gnevas Das, and that would be Aser. Excuse me? That's true. So if people are aware of that, then you're right. If people know that the listing or the ratings don't mean anything because anyone can put anything in, then Enechami will no longer be Gnevas Das. I don't know how well known this is. I think people assume that any listing, it's all the same item. But 100%, if people are aware of it, it would be mutter.
If you look at the listing, the seller, Matt, the seller, if you look at the listing, the seller you're actually buying from, it really...
I think the rate, again, I'm not that familiar with Amazon, but I think there are two different ratings. I think you can rate the seller as far as your experience with the seller, but that's an aggregate, anyone who bought from the seller, any item that he's selling.
That's right.
You can also look at the item, but there's no way to isolate this item from this seller. So therefore, fine, but it doesn't mean this item. So you'll have plenty of cases where this will be misleading. That's certainly Gnevas Das, when you put your own ratings on something. So this would be an example of mixing lower quality goods with higher quality goods, taking advantage of the current high ratings, and this would be a case of Gnevas Das. Well, if you have someone responding on your behalf, you can have a secretary, a polite secretary, a nasty person can hire a polite secretary. That's not Gnevas Das. So if you have someone who's good at customer service, taking care of the customers, that's fine. Now, so the Mishnah says, although by a merchant where it's understood he will have many sources, there's no iser mixing. So the Mishnah says that's only bevachlo shlo yiskaven. This only means a merchant can buy from a bunch of fields. He doesn't have to worry one might be better, one might be worse, because it's understood. He'll have many different sources, and every buyer knows every new bushel, every new order will be different. It will not necessarily be consistent. But if a merchant goes ahead, and he has a very nice tactic. What he does is he buys most of his stuff from a high-quality supplier. He gets a good reputation. Everyone knows he has quality items. He then goes ahead and he buys some of the stuff, let's say 20% of his stuff, he buys from, he knows it's junk. But since most of his stuff is coming from a better supplier, he will get a reputation of being a high quality producer. So in that case, that will still be Gnevas Das. Because although you're not saying anything, you're not making any claim, you don't hang up a sign, all my stuff is high quality, simply the fact that you're on purpose, you're intentionally buying most of your stuff from quality and mixing in some inferior goods, you are misleading the marketplace, you're misleading the buyers, and that would be a case of Gnevas Das. Now, a common example today is you'll have stores, you'll have a store that sells high quality, let's say, clothing. Now, many people can't really tell exactly how expensive a suit should be. So what you'll do is you'll have a store. They'll sell mostly upper-end suits, and the prices will be high. They'll have good service. They'll have a very good reputation. And then on the side, they'll mix in one or two lines that are inferior quality. The price will be a little bit lower. But people will assume, if it's coming to this store, this store only sells quality goods. So this would be an example of Gnevas Das, where they're going ahead, they're building a reputation of being a higher-end store, and most of their stuff is higher-end, and they're using that to slip in a lower-quality item. That would be Gnevas Das. Now, obviously, if they slash the price on this, and it's clear that this is a lower quality, that's fine. But if they're not doing it, it's in the same price range, this would be an example of Gnevas Das. A similar case is you can have a grocery that wants to have a reputation of being a very low-cost grocery. So what they'll do is, on, say, 80% of their goods, they'll slash their prices, and they'll undercut their competition. And then on 10, 20% of the items, they'll be full price. Now, I know you're not going to have, because it's not overcharged, they're charging the full price. But what they're doing is, they're pricing roiv, or 80% of the goods, in one price point to develop or to give people the impression that they're a very cheap store. And they're pricing a minority, a smaller percentage at a regular price, hoping that people won't realize. They'll just have the general reputation. So this would be a shaila of Gnevas Das. What? Good. So perhaps this is different because in the case of the fruits, it's mixed in. So perhaps over there, you're mixing it in. People are not going to check. Perhaps in the grocery, if everything is marked individually, you can argue that each thing is marked and a person should realize. On the other hand, I think most people, what usually happens is that the milk and the bread, the staples that people buy all the time, they're usually very well priced on. It's these things that people do not buy regularly, and they don't know the prices elsewhere. Those are the items where they take you for a ride. So this would be a case of Gnevas Das.
Even if it's a general, it's a general practice.
Unfortunately, all of the examples of Gnevas Das in the Mishnah are probably a general practice among a certain percentage of the population. If it's there, you know, we'll get back to the Asma and Minog in certain cases. But it might be a practice among sellers, but I don't think most buyers realize it. The moment buyers realize this, and everyone knows a cheap store means 80% of the stuff is cheap, 20% is higher, but it's still worth it. Good, you're not being going to anyone's das anymore. But if the buyers do not suspect it, and it's just the sellers, the insiders, if you will, all know how the game is played, I don't think that's a heter for Gnevas Das. Right. Because the issue here is not a mum. The issue is not a no that you're ripping them off. The issue is that you're specifically pricing roiv of your stuff in one way to develop a certain reputation. And then however much you can slip in that's either inferior or higher priced or not the same quality, you're doing that and riding on the reputation that was developed by the roiv. So you have a choice. If you want to be a full price grocery, be a full price grocery. If you want to be a discount grocery, be a discount grocery. But if you want to be a discount grocery and then whenever people aren't looking, be full priced, that's where you run into questions of Gnevas Das.
I think that in such a case, it depends how you advertise your wares. If you write guaranteed to say 75% or 25% over the rate, and you're not saying that every item is 75% or 25% cheaper, it depends how you presented yourself. I think so.
That could be. Certainly, how you present it will make a difference, but what's important to realize is in the case of the Mishnah, there was no marketing going on. The person was going ahead, he was buying roiv from a better field, miyut from another field. And the market, it speaks for itself. People would come in, they would see most of the stuff is good, and he would develop a reputation for higher quality. So in that case, without saying anything, because you are taking action to give yourself a false reputation, that would be awesome. If you're advertising and you're being clear that we're just in the aggregate, you'll be better off. Good, no problem. But in many cases where you're trying to, when you're going ahead and you're trying to mislead the marketplace, that's where you run into problems with Gnevas Das. Now, yeah, as he pointed out, if everyone realizes this and everyone just cares about their bottom line, overall they're better off. Again, there won't be any Gnevas Das. But if everyone realized that, then he probably would just change the pricing. If it's done like this, where he's much lower on most items and higher on other, it's probably because he wants to go ahead and create this image.
That's not right. The people that are shopping and are pricing the item won't be buying it from places. The people that aren't as price sensitive will just buy it from one store.
If everyone realizes it's Sabra Vakibel, then I'd agree. There's no Gnevas Das if they're aware of that's how the pricing works. But if they're not aware of it, and it's something that you're trying to hide, you set it up in a way where most people will come into a store, they'll price two or three things, they'll see this is lower, and that's where they'll shop. So you're doing this, you're trying to take advantage of a misimpression. You know, like everything else, the Mishnah is telling you a klal. And what the klal that we see from here is that even though you're not saying anything, you're not lying, going ahead and mixing qualities, keeping a roiv of higher quality and lower prices would be the same, in order to create an image, that would be usur if the image is not consistent.
And all this stuff, right? The high volume items, they charge, they
clear delineation, that something which is high volume, they can afford to be lower price, something which is low volume, they need to charge a premium because they have to stock it and things like that. Good. So then there are two different markets, if you will, and that's fine. But in a case where you're mixing, the pshat is not that there's a difference in pricing between milk and frozen pizza. The pshat is you're just taking advantage of certain items or a minority of the item where people will not notice because it's mixed in. That is where the Gnevas Das will come up. Loss leaders are completely different because you're not marketing that my store, everything I lose money in everything I sell. You have a sale on specific items and everyone realizes this specific item is on sale. It's only when it's a roiv, when most of your stuff is at great pricing, and then you use that to slip in higher priced items, that's the Gnevas Das. But in a case where you're saying, I have this specific item on sale, please, you know, come to my store, that's, you're not fooling, there's no attempt to fool anyone, no one is being fooled, and that's perfectly fine.
And bait and switch would be a problem?
Okay, bait and switch, we'll get to that. If you're saying a sale and it's not a sale, then that would be a problem. Okay, let's just continue. We have a lot to cover today. The Mishnah then continues. There's another issur that ein ma'ariv ma'ayin b'yayin. You're not allowed to water down. You're selling wine, so you're not allowed to water it down. Now, there's actually a difference. If the minog is that before you buy wine, you taste it. Now, today, when you go to a wine store, people generally don't taste their wine unless it's, you know, real upper end. Because, you know, a bottle of Kedem wine is going to taste basically the same. But to do that, it seems, is not so easy. And back then, the wines, there was very little consistency. So before you bought wine, in many places, the minhag was to taste it first. So in that case, if you're adding a lot of water where it's nicker, it's obvious, there, the halacha is you're allowed to add the water. Because since everyone will certainly taste it, and once they taste it, it'll be very obvious that this is diluted wine, so that would not be Gnevas Das. However, in a case where they don't taste it, or if you're just going to add a little bit of water, so a little bit of water, unless you're a real connoisseur, the end user will not notice the difference. But the bottom line is, he's getting watered down wine. He's not getting
before the tasting or after the
what?
Before the tasting or after the tasting?
No, in a case where they don't, in a case where either they don't taste the wine, or if they do taste it, but you're going to add just a little bit, and they're. No, before. But the customer that comes in and tastes it will not realize that it's been diluted because you're just adding a minimal amount. That would be Gnevas Das because the expectation is the wine is full strength, it's pure wine. And the moment you start mixing things in, then that is going to be usur.
That's something like wax where they add artificial color to it, you know. So if you look at the back and see, you know, it says coloring, whatever, but, you know, the whole intent is to make it look better. You know, that were like better than it really is, or something. That's not again this color to it. So is that?
Well, we'll discuss if it's not so fresh, you're trying to make it look better. We'll discuss that in a minute. But if you're just changing the color, people like their locks, you know, colored orange as opposed to its natural color. So that's just changing what the color is. I don't think it's better or worse. Just people enjoy eating it when it looks like that. I think that would be fine. If you're trying to trying to cover up the fact that it is really rotten. That's another story that we'll get to in a few minutes. Now, interestingly, the Gemara says, what happens if a person has wine and he waters it down? So here, if he sells it as regular wine and doesn't say anything, that would be Gnevas Das. So halacha is, as long as you notify the buyers, you can sell it. You just tell them, this is watered down, I added this amount of water, and as long as it's full disclosure, there can't be Gnevas Das because he knows exactly what he's buying. Zok the Mishnah, you're only allowed to sell it to an end user if it's watered down. If you're selling it to a retailer, someone who's going to turn around and resell it, even if you disclose that it's watered down, the Mishnah says that it's awesome. Why? The problem is, it's very nice you disclosed it to the merchant, but we're choishish, he's going to turn around, and when he sells it to his customers, he's not going to notify them that it was watered, it was diluted. Now, why is that your problem? Right. And any time any merchant, you sell him wine, he has access to water. They can always water it down. So why over here is it your responsibility? So over here, the Mefarshim explain that most merchants are honest. And if they have wine, they're not going to go ahead and when no one's looking, add water, dilute it, and sell it at the full price. We're not choishish that in a normal case. However, even the Erlichah ones, if you give them diluted wine, they're Moira Heter. They didn't add the water themselves. They didn't see anyone add the water. Yeah, they think maybe the person mentioned something they didn't exactly hear right. He's going to be Moira Heter. If they're not the ones that did it, we're chayish, they're going to go ahead and they're going to pass it along and resell it without disclosing it. So Chazal being yored the seif daitoy of a moicher, that there's a very big difference between going ahead and watering it down yourself and just passing along goods that you know were tampered with. In halacha, there's no difference. It's a question of the person will be moira hetter. I mean, I could find that. I know there was a car dealer, there was Bavus, that he was selling cars that were, you know, that had, the miles were turned back a crazy amount. Now, he would never do it on his own. He was an Erlich Aganev, and he would never go ahead and lie to you and turn back the miles. But his supplier, he bought the cars from some shady people who were known that all the cars that they sold, regardless of the condition, always had low mileage. So it's one thing that he's Meira Heter, he knows that guy's the guy, he's just selling what he bought. He's just putting it, he's not making any representation. That he was ready to do. But to go ahead and do it on his own, that's another level. It's not a difference in halacha, but it's just a practical difference. And that's why selling damaged goods to a merchant, if it's not marked, it's not clear, will be a problem. So if a person has a run, or if he manufactures in there, and there are irregulars in their seconds, so if you want to sell it directly to the end user and disclose the issue, that's fine. But to sell it to a reseller, to sell it to a merchant and have him sell it, there, where Choshish, he's not going to disclose the problem. So unless you mark it on the item, you know, you stamp it, irregulars or defective or something like that, selling it to a middleman would be awesome. No, understood. In this case, you're specifically telling this merchant that it was watered down. But Afal Pikein, because he didn't do it by Yadayim, the Sma says he didn't see it being done. You just told him we're choishes. He's going to go ahead and resell it.
What are you doing?
It's Masayeh. It can't be a lifnei iver because he doesn't need you. He can do it on his own. So it would l'chayr be a isur d'rabban of Masayeh because you're being goyrimit.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder
what the responsibilities are of the store keeper. Okay, I don't want to talk specifics. I don't know what the issue with the dates are. I'm gonna pass on that. I don't want to talk about a specific item. There's no din of bittul. If he knows that they're defective, you have to go ahead and find out which ones are defective and take them out of the lot. We don't use lomdish asfaras of bittul baroyev when we're dealing with other people's money. Now the Mishnah has another case. A person has a whole package of fruit. Some of them and some of the fruits are rotting. It's not that fresh. Salach is, if you want to go ahead and go through the entire barrel and take out all the ones that are rotting, that's fine. Because you're now selling quality goods. So even though you're obviously going to charge a premium for it, but many people will pay a premium. They don't want to see any rotten goods. They want to make sure it's all good. So if you've done the service, you've cleaned it out, and that's perfectly fine. However, if you're going to go ahead and just take the rotten ones from the top, there the Mishnah says that that's all. And you're underneath, you're going to leave all the rotten ones. So that is going to be also, because that is kagoyin v'sa'ayim. Because the customer comes in, the pashut shan, the mishnah is, he's going to see the top, he's going to see they're all nice, he's going to buy it, and he won't realize that underneath, many of them will be rotten, and that is gnevis das.
You don't see it when you put it in your bag, but it's rotten.
It's like this. So the Pesachim are all bothered. They're bothered by the fact that, first of all, when Geneva's das? It's Geneva's mammon. You sold a bunch of rotten fruits, and you tricked him into paying full price. And the Lashon Mishnah is kid going to Vesa'ayin. It's like you're being going to... So there are two pshatim, both tremendous chedushim. The Dibros Moshe in the Ha'aruf says like this. He says the case is avada, when the person comes in, he buys it, he's not a fool. Everyone knows he can't trust the top. He doesn't go through the whole thing. He's going to see exactly what he's buying. So that Dibros Moshe, the case is like this. Person has a store. He has a storefront. He's in the shuk. And what he does is in front of the store, he goes, they have these packages. He makes them look beautiful. He cleans out the top. Person passes by, he sees the price, he sees the beautiful fruits in front of him, he says, wow, this is great. He goes into the store and starts looking around and starts handling. So after Dibros Moshe, Avada, when he starts looking before he buys, he's going to realize what's going on. He's going to see the bottom, he's going to see what it's worth, and he's going to end up negotiating, he'll end up getting the fair price. But Zavta Dibros Moshe, tricking him to come into your store by showing him this beautiful facade, when underneath there are rotten fruits, he says, that's Kegoyin Eves Ayin. The Geneva's Das is not when you sell it. The Geneva's Das is fooling him to coming into the store on false pretenses. What? Okay. Well, he's not wasting it. He ends up buying the fruits. He'll buy it from you. It's a fair price, and at the end of the day, he may buy it from you. But this is the equivalent of bait and switch. You go ahead and you advertise, you have this item available, this car available, it's mamish free. People come in, I'm very sorry, I just sold it yesterday, but I have something else which is even better, it's a little bit more expensive. Any case of bait and switch, when they actually buy the item, there's no Geneva's Das. They know exactly what they're getting. When you switch, you tell them. But since you baited them, you convinced them to come into the store under false pretenses, you were offering an item that simply didn't exist. So that would be Geneva's Das, according to this Dibros Moshe.
What about like advertising, which gets a person to do something because they know that this type of thing gets a person, even though it has no reality, for instance, like you were talking about, put things in your window, people look at this stuff and they go to the store, they don't buy it, but it's a drug, so you put it there.
If it's real, if you're putting something in the window which is for sale, it's available, it's real. So that's perfectly fine. It's when you're putting a facade, something which is not available, you hang up a sign and you're for a price that doesn't exist, that's where you run into this problem. Now Tosfos Yontif has even a bigger chiddush. His case is he says that when the person comes, you have this beautiful facade, it looks great. He said when the person asks you about it, you tell him you should know underneath it's taka junk. He said, psychologically, when the person sees the top, he says to himself, how bad could it really be underneath? And therefore, the Yontif says, even when you disclose it, just having this appearance, he says, plays with people's minds, he says, that would still be awesome. And the Mishnah continues, another case is, Einoifchim b'kirbayim, k'dei she'yiru shemeinim, y'ruchavim. You can't go ahead and blow up, inflate the intestines of the meat to make it look bigger. Because the customer comes in, he sees this big piece of meat, he thinks he's buying a lot, and really, it's all air. So that is another case of Geneva's Das. A modern example would probably be a person buys a bag of say, potato chips. Now, if anyone ever noticed, you buy a bag of potato chips, you open it up, and it's mostly air. It's all blown up. So that's a case where it's being blown up to make it look like there's more inside. And so even though it says a weight, I think most people don't know how much an ounce of potato chips really, how much really is. So if you're making a bigger container, a bigger bag, and people will think there's more inside, that would be a case of Geneva's Das.
Put that in meat, they put the meat on top of the meat, then you take it out and that has a lot of fat. Is that...
So that may be different, because everyone knows your meat, there are two sides to every piece of meat. Now you know, in all likelihood, one side is going to be better than the other. So there's no reason to assume the top is going to be the worst part. A person should realize that there's at least a 50-50 chance that the top is the better one, and probably a better chance than that. So you're not making any representations that would not be Geneva's Das. So the Sma over here says that this case where you're going ahead, you're blowing something up, or you're doing something like that. He says if everyone does it, this is the minhag hamakom. It's not Geneva's Das. Because everyone knows they've been buying potato chips for many years, and everyone knows that the bags are half empty, or half full, I guess. So in that case, where it's an industry standard, where it's a minhag, the Sma says you're not being going to anyone's das, and it's mutter. Now, if a PK in the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that a person should avoid doing that, he says, because this kind of industry standard, why are they doing it if everyone knows? The answer is that 90% of the people will know, but they're doing it for once in a while where a fool comes in and doesn't know, they're going to get him. So because of that, Shulchan Aruch Rav says you should stay away because there may be people that won't realize it and you will be going to their das. But the Sma paskins that Lamaya said that it's mutter as long as there's a clear minhag. But the minhag has to be something that everyone does, and it probably also has to be where the customers know about it. You'll have cases where it's maybe industry standard, but the insiders know about it and they're taka successfully fooling everybody else. I don't believe the Sma's Heter would apply. The Sma's Heter is where this is how things were sold. Everyone who's bought things knows this is how they come. If this is how it comes, there's no longer a Ganeva's Das. Simply the fact that there are many successful Ganovim doesn't create a Minog which would make it mutter.
Does it make a difference if you're the initiator of the new marketing strategy?
Yes, in the Sma's case, where you're going ahead and you're being going of das, you're soaking things, you're making it look better. The first seller that does that is me even Mr. Ganeva's das, because there is no minhag. Now, if everyone follows suit and it becomes a minhag, and now everyone realizes, at that point you're not being going of anyone's das. At that point, there's a minhag, and going forward, you won't be over. But that first person, where he's successfully fooling everyone that walks through the doors, that certainly would be a case of Ganeva's Das.
So
where it's marked, they change the shape. You know, now an easy grip container. So they're telling you that it's different. It's different shape. It's marked differently. It's hard to call that a real case of Ganeva's Das. Now, there's a tshuva from the Igros Moshe that has a Peladika Chiddush. Actually, no, let's just go to the next case in the Mishnah first. We'll get back to this Igros Moshe. The Mishnah, the next case in the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to be mefarchis in Adam or Behema. You're not allowed to different ways of dressing things up to make it look better. The case of an Adam is you have a person, you're selling a slave, an Eved Kanani. He's an old man. No one wants to buy an old man as a slave. So you dye his hair black. You know, he was an old man, he had gray hair. You dye his hair black and you sell it. So that's a case. The person buying thinks he's getting a young, energetic slave. Comes out, he's an old man, he's ready for the nursing home. So in that case, that would be a case of Ganeva's Das. Now, the Achrayim point out that why are we jumping to a case of a slave? What are you selling an Eved Kanani? Have a very simple case. You need a job. You're a worker, and you're a little bit older. There's age discrimination. So you go ahead and you dye your hair black. Why are we jumping to this unusual case that you're selling a slave? So some of the Achrayim suggest it would be Lei Silbash. That by dyeing your hair black, maybe an Isser of Lei Silbash. But many places can say that Lei Silbash is only when you're doing something in order to stay around ladies. If you're doing it simply to get a job, it's not something you're not making yourself look like a lady or anything, the Isser, according to many places, will not apply. So why are we talking about Avadim? Why don't we talk about a regular player? So what many Achrayim, the Gros Moshe, and a number of other Achrayim say, a tremendous Chiddush, they say if you're looking for a day job, now you happen to be older, but you know you're perfectly capable of doing this job. And there's no difference between you and a younger person for this particular job. You're working for a day, you're painting a house, it's not. Zavta Rav Moshe, in there, there's no Isser Ganeva's Das. Because he needs a worker, you're perfectly capable of doing that job. Now, it's true if he knew your age, he may not want to hire you. But that's because he's going to make an assumption that this age, gray hair, you're not capable of doing the job. But if it's clear that you are as capable of doing this job, you have the koyach, you have the energy, there's no difference, via Rav Moshe writes, there will be no Isser Ganeva's Das. And that's why the Mishnah jumps to a case of an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is a slave, you're buying him for life. So even if right now he has koyach, right now he's strong, but at some point he's going to age, his koyach will run out, he'll get sick. So there's a difference. And there's an Isser of Ganeva's Das. But if you're hiring someone just to do just for a day, for a week, for a month, for a period of time, and he is as capable of doing this job as a younger person, there, the Gros Moshe writes, the Isser of Ganeva's Das would not apply.
Is it allowed to happen? Somebody's got a hair in order to do it?
Yes, yes. What I'm just saying that as long as it's clear that you are as capable as a younger person. Now, obviously, this is a difficult decision to make, and it's certainly difficult if you are the one making that decision. You have a level of negius, but in such a case, the Ramesh Paskin is that we know Isser Gnevis Das. Now, you do have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What it sounds like, so what it sounds like from this is that any time he has an irrational bias, we mentioned before, Gnevis Das, if there's absolutely no nafkamina whatsoever, there perhaps the Isser would not apply. Now, 2 points. The first point is that even this heter, we have two extremes. We have an evikanani, where being sold as a slave, age certainly makes a difference. The other extreme is we have, in Ramosh's case, he's a worker, he's working for a day, he's working for a week, he doesn't really make a difference what his age is. Say you're an attorney looking for a job. Is that like a poil, or is that like an evikanani? Evikanani. You must be an attorney. So in a case like that, where the person's being hired, not for a week, you're hiring him, you expect him to be put in 60 hours a week for the next bunch of years until he becomes a partner, you're expecting a long-term relationship, there Rav Moshe's heter probably won't apply. It's only in a case where you're going ahead, you're hiring him to paint the house, it's for a week, it's a short-term relationship where if he has the energy, he has the koyach now, there's no reason to assume it may change, there Rav Moshe has his heter. But anytime it's a longer-term relationship where it may make a difference, it will be awesome. Okay, that's a valid point, but that's, we can't go into that. We don't have time to go into that. Now, there is another truth from the Igros Moshe. And this is a famous tshuva. He discusses that someone sent him a letter saying that he heard that the Bachrim and Yeshiva steal the regents, and they cheat on the tests. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. First thing he writes back is, you should know it's not true. Chas v'shalom, the Bachrim don't cheat. If you want to know why they're doing so well on the test, it's because they know how to learn, and they study hard. It has nothing to do with anyone who's telling you this. You can tell them in my name. It's not true. But then he continues, and he says that the reason why it can't be true is that he said his stealing the test, cheating on a test, he said, is going to be Gneva. He says, Lo yiboy Gnevis Das, you're going ahead, you're representing that you graduated high school when you really didn't. He says, it's even more than that. It will probably also be Gnevis Mammon. Because if you have an employer that will hire you, will insist, he wants to know, do you have a high school diploma? You say that you do, and it's really not true, it's really fake. So Rav Moshe says, it's a Kabbalah Batayos. Now, Zucker Rav Moshe, are you going to tell me it doesn't really make a difference? You were learned in yeshiva, you're smart enough, you can take, you're just as competent as the goyim that have a degree or have a diploma. So he says, first of all, it's not true. The fact that if you learned your English subject better, you'll probably know more about business, and therefore there's a real difference. And then he says, even if you're going to argue that there really is no difference between someone who has a diploma or doesn't, the bottom line is the employer wants to see your diploma. He's only ready to hire you if you graduated high school. You didn't graduate high school, and therefore, Zucker of Moshe, the whole Kabbalah is Batayus, and it's Mestama, okay, Mestama, it's not just Gnevis Das, it's Gnevis Mammon. Now, this tshuva l'chayr is a stira to the other tshuva. We just said before, we have an employer, he wants to hire someone young, you can go ahead and you can dye your hair as long as you know you're strong enough, it won't make a difference. Here, Rav Moshe is writing, even in Tim Tzolomer, he doesn't agree with this, but even if you're going to tell me that you're just as good as someone with a diploma, still, the fact that an employer wants a diploma and you don't have it, that's also. Very good. So the difference is that in the case where the diploma, the employer said, I want to see your diploma. Do you have it? Did you graduate high school? So there, where even if his tenai is irrational, even in Tim Salami, there's no basis for this difference. Once he said, this is what I want, I'm only willing to hire you if you have a degree, so then, lying about that is Gnevis Mammon, because it's a Kabbalah Batoyos. Mashiach, in the case of the age, there he didn't say anything. You're afraid if you walk in with a nice long gray beard, you won't get the job. Since you know it won't make a difference, you don't have to do any sheker, there's no tenai, there's no lying, you're just dyeing your hair in a way that he won't ask questions, there of Moshe in that case is Mekel, as long as you know there won't be a difference. But if the customer says something, they make a tenai, they insist, there would be usur regardless of whether he's really right in making this condition or not. The Gnevis Das was probably when he got into college. The Gnevis Das was when he got admitted into college. Because he got admitted based on the fact that...
But many people
Okay.
Correct.
Hitaka has a college degree. Now, it could be there's Gnevis Das getting in, but it's not Gnevis Mammon because Hitaka has a college degree.
Also, Ramesh talked about that they say stealing the regents or they say cheating on tests because, you know, it's a stealing of the regents.
No, but his case was, the accusation was stealing on the regents, but he wasn't discussing the person who broke into the school. He was discussing everyone else that copied the answers. Let me finish up. There's another Peledik Atshuva from Nigras Moshe, a tremendous coup. Everyone who made it through all these shiurim, all these stumras, they will tell you a tremendous coup from the Nigras Moshe. What will be in the following case? You have a person. He is an old man. He wants to get the job. So the age will make a difference. So we said it's clear in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to dye your hair black. You're not allowed to make yourself look young. What about going to the job interview and keeping your hat on? Or for that matter, shaving your head. You saw, you pretend you look like a Marine, you shave your head, and now the person won't know how old you are. Is that mutter or asa? So Rav Moshe deals with the following case. It seems that there was the butchers, when they sold the livers, they would soak the livers in blood, and that would give it it would prevent it from turning white, it would prevent it from color changing. So there were people that said, you can't give a heksher on such livers because it's Gnevis Das. Because really these livers, had you not soaked them in blood, they would have been turning white, they would have been showing their age. You're soaking it in blood, you're preventing it from turning from changing colors, you're fooling all the customers. Zog the Igros Moshe, a tremendous chiddush. Moshe says like this, if you have a person who has gray hair, he's an old man, and he's dyeing his hair black, dyeing your hair black makes you look young. So you walk into someone, you have a full head of jet black hair, so you're representing, you're not saying anything, but you're fooling him into thinking you're young. That's Gnevis Das. Zogliger is Moshe, if that's not what you're doing, you're not fooling him that you're young. You're just taking away a warning sign that would show that you're old. You're shaving your head. So you see someone without any hair, you don't know whether he's old or young. You don't know your judgment's not going to be based on his hair. He doesn't have any hair. Zokar of Moshe, if all you're doing is taking away a warning sign, that's not Gnevis Das. Because the customer has no idea. New, old, young, he has no idea. Looking at it, he has no way to determine it. So either he'll ask you, he'll figure it out in another way, or he'll make a mistake. But you're not being going to his Das. So for example, let's say you're selling milk, and you know it's going to expire in 2 days. So if you go ahead and you change the expiration date, that's Gnevis Das. Because now you're fooling people into thinking that it's fresher. But what happens if you just erase the date completely? Someone comes into the store, again, leaving out the Malchus Adina. Someone comes into the store, there's no date. So they have no way of knowing. Is it fresh? Is it not fresh? They have no way of knowing.
Illegal.
Good. So again, Dina Malchus Adina we'll put aside for a moment. That's a topic we'll get to later in the summer. But as far as Gnevis Das is concerned, you're not representing to them that it's younger. You're not even doing anything that makes them think it's younger. You're just taking away a simon that would alert them there's a problem. Zakr of Moshe, that would not be Gnevis Das. And therefore, in our other case, if you want to wear a hat, you're not being going to their Das, you're just stopping them from seeing one of the warning signs. And there, in that case, Rav Moshe is Mekel, he says there's no issue of Gnevis Das.
In the case of milk, if I ask you, what's the date?
Then you have to answer. You have to tell the truth. But we're talking about over here where you're just going to, there's no date now. So now since it's a blank, there's no indication it's fresh. You just took away the indication or the raya or the simen that it's getting old. There, Rav Moshe says, there will be no Isser Gnevis Das. Now, if there's a defect, there's something wrong, we mentioned before. When there's a defect, when there's a mum, if it's spoiled already, then forget about these halachas are not relevant. You can't sell without disclosing it. We're talking about where it's not defective, it's not spoiled. Just, you know, it'll last another 2-3 days. For some people it's fine, some people it isn't. The question is Gnevis Das, and there Rav Moshe's chiddush is that taking away the simonim would not be an Isser of Gnevis Das. Right. I don't know. I would think that even if that's not his kavanah, if he's walking into an interview, knowing that he has done this, that he dyed his hair, he may have a chiyuv to disclose it. But I don't know. If it's being done for another kavanah, I don't have a raya.
Shaving the beard. Let's say your beard is gray. You
That's the same thing. The Rosh is saying there's no Isser. Because you're not making yourself look younger. You're just taking away one of the simonim. You don't have to grow a beard. Now, the different Malkiel, by the way, is meduyik that he argues on this. It's again, he has, it's a long, we're not going to go through the tshuva. But Mitecha Dvorim, he says clearly that even if you're taking away a simon, if the natural state, people would realize that it's a problem, they'd stay away from it. And you're changing it in order to fool them. The different Malkiel says it would be Aser Achopikain. But the Igros Moshe is Mekel. So I end up with one last one, you know, just very quickly. We're not going to have a time to go through it by Rikos, but this issue comes up very commonly with Shaduchim. Because people, whatever the situation is, they may have a history, there may be something wrong or something they're trying to keep quiet. And the question is, when do you have a chiyuv to talk and when not? It's a difficult sugya. We're Baruch Hashem out of time. But just to go very briefly, if there is a mum, if there's a defect, there's something which is a problem, whether it's medical or otherwise. So there, this whole discussion doesn't begin. They are covering, not disclosing a defect. That's gneivas das, that's lesamen adam reecha. That would certainly be awesome. Where it gets less clear is something which is not an inherent defect. The girl is much older than she looks. Now it's not a mum. Being 25 is not a etzem mum. It's not something which is an inherent flaw, but something that people will make a mistake. There, the Chavetz Chaim Sasharon says, "Is davar pasha, you do not have a chiyuv to say. If a person wants to know the age, they have to ask. If they don't ask and they jump to their own conclusions based on the physical appearance without asking any questions, since it's not a mum, it's not something which create a mekach tois. There, he says that it's fine. What? Okay, lying is a different story. You're not being matter lying. He's being matter just keeping quiet. Now, there is a peludik, there's a stipler that has a peludik, a diuk. You have to know how to deal with it. But there's a Gemara in Yuvamus that says that an eved or a goy that's baal bas Yisrael, the child is not a mamzer, the child is mutter to marry a Yisrael. The Gemara says, but the problem is no one wants to marry someone who is the son or daughter of a goy. So the Gemara has a few stories there where that my Rambam told the person, go to another city where nobody knows who you are. Now the problem is that L'chay, this is Gneva's Das. Nobody wants to marry someone who's the son of a goy. So what is the hetzer to go to another city where they don't recognize you? L'chay, there should be a chiv, there's an Isser of Gneva's Das. L'chay, you should have to disclose the Yichus. What? For what? Oh, it's like this. If you hold that it's a mum, if there's a defect, there's something wrong with, you know, she's the girl has suicidal tendencies, that's a mum. So these heterim don't apply. There you have to disclose. But if it's not an inherent mum, it's something that some people are makbid on, some people aren't, there we have this heter. If they don't ask, you don't necessarily have to say. You know, specifically, and some of the achrayim say that in a case like this, as long as nobody knows, it could be there's nothing wrong. People don't want to marry someone who's known to be the son of a goy, you know, come from a goy. But as long as no one talks about it, he's in a place where no one realizes it, it could be his bechlal not considered a mum in such a place. So again, the Achroim had different terutz into this Gemara, and depending on how you learn this Gemara, it'll make a very big nafkamina in halacha l'maisa. But just to be aware of what... What?